Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And this is a beautiful day, and I've got my case of dry rosés from the Finger Lakes. I'm going to take them outside, the 12 bottles, you know, one of which is empty now, or mostly empty, but the 11 full bottles at least, and put them out in the garden and do a spring photo shoot out with the forget-me-nots. My forget-me-nots, they're kind of weeds. You know, they show up kind of everywhere, and they're so beautiful. And so I just let them grow, you know, almost anywhere they want to grow. I'll walk around them. And the dry rosés are going to look pretty spectacular in with the blues and the greens of the forget-me-nots. So that's what I'm going to be doing at the end of this hour, is out in my neighbors, one of whom makes wine, so they won't think I'm as nuts, but some of the other neighbors probably wonder why I'm placing dry rosé, well, wine bottles with pink wine in them, in my garden. Not for long. It's sunny. I'm not going to cook them in the sun, but I think it's gonna look kind of cool, and that's part of the beauty of this, the way dry rosé has exploded in the region as a category, is just the colors are really quite different from winery to winery. And this collaboration case, you can get it through Zugabee Vineyards. I was just down there this week, drove down to pick it up, the curbside pickup there, and got some of the red wines too. But they saw a number of people posting that they're getting this FLX collaboration case for Mother's Day as a gift. And it's, you know, you could do, you know, six for one mother and six for the mother-in-law, or, you know, three each or 12 each, whatever. Maybe go in with it with some siblings or friends or neighbors, and give someone some beautiful dry rosés to have over the course of the next few months. There's no hurry to drink them, and they are really delicious. The 12 wineries participating in this collaboration case include, of course, Zugabee's, which is where you order them and pick them up, but Anthony Road, Billsboro, Damiani, Domaine Le Sueur, Fox Run, Glenora, Hosmer, Lucas, also Ravines, Sheldrake Point, Three Brothers, all of those in this case of 12 dry rosés. It's $190 for the case, which is, you know, $12 a bottle or so. It's a great bargain. Dry rosés, probably, you know, a lot of them are retail for around 15, so 17, maybe under $20 a bottle in general. And they don't need to be consumed right away. You can enjoy them for, you know, a couple of years. There's, you know, if you find a dry rosé from 2017, it's likely it's even better than it was back in 2018 when it was released. So there's not really an out date on dry rosé. It's just one of the first wines released in the spring. It's kind of associated with spring and early summer, but it's fantastic for Thanksgiving. And there are, it was 130 wineries in the Finger Lakes. I would guess that, well, at least half of them make a dry rosé, and a number of those make multiple dry rosés, different varietals. And these dry rosés are made with red grapes that are, you don't put them on the skins, and so they don't extract the color that you would get with a traditional Cabernet or Merlot or Lemberger. And wineries might leave them a little longer on the skins. It's really a delicious wine and a fabulous food wine. It really is pretty amazing. So, again, dry rosé, a fantastic category. and I hope you get a chance to try them. And this collaboration case is really maybe even more than the tierce wine, a sign of the collaborative atmosphere in the Finger Lakes. I mention this quite often in interviews with winemakers and winery owners and the other regions of the country, other regions of the world just don't do this. If you run into one, let me know. I haven't heard of anything like this where wines from 12 different wineries, completely unrelated. I mean, sometimes a corporation will own multiple wineries. In this case, these wineries are all unrelated to each other. And they you know, Zugabee's could sell just their dry rosé, and they'd probably sell quite a bit of it. But they we had Brendan Zugabee on last weekend, and you can go check out his interview in the archives. And it's really a unique thing to have the wineries work together like this. So Zugabee went and collected the wines, assembled the, you know, the 11 other wineries that wanted to participate. And with the shutdown, you know, wine sales are down. They're doing quite a bit of shipping, doing quite a bit of curbside pickup and sales through wine stores, but that just doesn't replace the thousands of people that would come to the wineries this time of the year. It was a couple of weeks ago, Glenora, and Gene Pierce said in his Glenora Gazette that this was maybe 3 weeks ago, they would normally have had about 1,700 visitors that week. So this is mid-April, about 1,700 visitors normally, and they had 27 who did curbside pickup. And so that you can't replace that number of visitors who are buying wine, many of them. And so, again, this is a creative idea to help get the one of the first wines to be released in 2020 out to the public, the FLX collaboration case. And you can get details about ordering it through Zugabee Vineyards, zugabeevineyards.com. They're in Geneva. They also deliver into Rochester. They interviewed Brendan last weekend. Said they deliver within 60 miles. So they're delivering to Rochester, to Syracuse, to Ithaca, this collaboration case, as well as their wines. And they have some really tremendous dry reds. It's zugabeevineyards.com. Again, one of the really unique things going on in our region, and a symbol of kind of behind the scenes, what people don't realize, one of the things that makes our region so special. So, again, kind of a perfect gift for Mother's Day. And many other wineries and businesses. I mentioned last hour, Herd Orchards is doing a Mother's Day gift basket, and also a box that can be shipped, but the basket is something you pick up or they'll be delivering into Rochester. A surprising number of businesses are doing delivery, and they're hustling to try to get all of these things that are perhaps for Mother's Day, things they ordered many months ago, planning for Mother's Day, and they're hustling to get them shipped or delivered or picked up, and so supporting local businesses is important right now. Keep that in mind as you're thinking about Mother's Day or birthdays or what you're going to do in terms of wine. When you buy a local wine, you are supporting the winery, their staff, their vineyards, or who they buy the grapes from. It's a broad web of people that you are supporting when you buy local wine. And I buy wines from other parts of the world sometimes, but really predominantly local wines. And they're such a variety. They're delicious. And a lot of wineries are offering free shipping or $6 shipping or $10 shipping. So some great bargains in shipping. And when you buy a case or sometimes half a case, you get some good discounts too. So again, if you're looking for specific kinds of wine, you want some suggestions for someone, you want to send them wine, email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll take a quick break. Be back after words from our sponsors here on WYSL 1040.
Here we sit enjoying the shade.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Drink the drink that I have made.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
Tell you why the day is sunny. I'm in love with lips of honey. Will you see the way she walks? Hey, brother, pour the wine. She is coming here to stay.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
I have waited for the day.
Hey, brother, pour the wine.
She writes of love in every letter. Others have tried, but I will get her. When you see the way she walks.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's The Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM, and some fabulous sponsors. Hope you get a chance to visit them. Bricolo Tree and Lawn Care has opened their nursery on 441, and it's just east of Turkhill Road and Route 250. They can deliver mulch and plants and things for you. They could design a vegetable garden and install that for you. If you want to grow some of your own vegetables, but you don't know where to start. You don't know where in the yard to put it. You don't know how the soil is. It's just not something you've done before in your yard. Get in touch with Bricolo. So BricoloTreeAndLawn.com, 424-4476. And mulching is kind of a fun job. They can deliver several yards of mulch in your driveway or next to your driveway, and then you can move that around your yard. It smells good. It looks great. It helps the plants over the summer when things get hot and dry. And it really has a big impact in a short period of time. It's BricoloTreeAndLawn.com. They also have awesome selection of plant material. It's a gorgeous nursery there on 441. Also brought to you by Casa Larga, our hometown winery. They are in Fairport. It's Turkhill Road in Fairport, and open for curbside service. Also doing shipping, of course, and they make a tremendous variety of wines. Sparkling wine, dry rosé, ice wines, a number of ice wines, gorgeous dry reds, many white wines, including Rieslings and Chardonnays, but also many, many others. So get a mixed case, perhaps, to explore the wines of Casa Larga, and maybe consider one for Mother's Day. It's CasaLarga.com to get more details. And finally, Fox Run Vineyards and Anthony Rowe Wine Company, just south of Geneva on Route 14. They are both doing curbside service and shipping. You can explore the skin-fermented wines at Anthony Road. Those are white wines, but fermented on the skins. Of course, the skins are, well, greenish-white kind of. So they don't impart any color the way a red wine would, but they impart some delicious flavors fermented on the skins, and you should get a few of those, as well as trying the regular table wines that they make, and dessert wines, dry reds. Fox Run does port style wines, so again you can explore dessert wines. Both those wineries, FoxRunVineyards.com, AnthonyRoadWine.com. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine.
Oh, Lordy, well, I kissed her again because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than the wine.
Sweeter than wine.
Well, I asked her to marry and be my sweet wife. I told her we'd be so happy for the rest of her life. I begged her and I pleaded like a natural man, and in the whoops, oh Lordy, well, she gave me her hand because she...
Welcome back. Mike Warren Thomas here. It is The Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM, And just last night, we did a blind wine tasting in our house. We're using some wines that we got from FLX Provisions, blind tasting case, and we had a blast doing that. And to get more details about it, we have Christopher Bates from FLX Provisions, FLX Table, FLX Wienery, FLX Freibird. Good morning, Christopher.
Morning, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm loving this weather, and the we're talking earlier this morning, and you have vineyards now also. The buds haven't broken yet, so you probably don't have to worry about frost damage this year, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was looking at that actually this morning. We have not seen any bud break as of yesterday. I haven't been out today yet. But, you know, the next couple of days are pretty warm, sunny daytime, and it's looking like we've got some cold weather coming in at night. So I see, I think tonight or tomorrow night, I think it's supposed to be down around just around 32. And then we got a couple of days at the end of the week that I think are supposed to be down into the 31 range. So I think that there's still a little bit of concern for it. And, you know, I think what's really important to remember is how site-specific weather can be around here. So, you know, we'll end up with some vineyards that end up dropping down into 28 at night, and some that at that same time won't go below 36. So it can be a little bit, we're still in that, I think, the danger zone for us a little bit here.
But your vineyards, which are fairly new, you recently purchased them, are on the east side of Seneca Lake, so moderated a little bit by the lake, maybe a little less of a concern.
So we do have a fair amount of moderation from the lake. Essentially, we purchased a vineyard 3 years ago, and it's about the vine age is about 20 years. It was planted in 2001. And because we have the deepest part of Seneca, the vineyard's right there in Lodi, so because we have kind of the deepest part of Seneca right in front of us, we do end up with a fair amount of moderation. And that also means that even on these warm days that up on the hilltops start to encourage bud break further from the lake, kind of the closer to the lake and the areas that are most moderated are also being held back a little bit. They're a little bit cooler than those areas that don't have the moderation impact. So that helps as well.
What kinds of grapes do you have in your vineyards?
So the vineyard is Cab Franc, Merlot, Pinot, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Cabernet Sauvignon.
So a broad range, actually. Not, you know, Riesling may be the signature grape, but you've always loved making dry reds from the Finger Lakes, and you've got a bunch of them there.
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly, I really wasn't looking for a vineyard, but when this one came up, it basically was, I couldn't imagine a vineyard that was really more custom suited to what we were making and what we want to make, both by having no hybrids, no native, and honestly not having Riesling in the vineyard was a little bit of a tip-off. Plus the fact that there was both Syrah and Pinot in the vineyard, it was kind of it seemed like an omen that couldn't be passed up on.
But how are you going to get the Concords to make wine and send down to Rouge Tomat in New York City?
Oh, there's still plenty of those out there.
Right.
Besides, I want those from old vineyards. So, you know, the cool thing about those Concords is it is something that we have 100-year-old vineyards of still here in the Finger Lakes. So,
well, you're one of the few master sommeliers who makes their own wine, and I would pretty much guarantee the only master sommelier who's made wine from Concord grapes.
That might be true.
Yeah, I think so.
I actually would probably bet that is true, actually.
Yeah. Again, I mentioned in the intro that we explored your blind tasting box last night. I picked it up 2 days ago on Friday, I guess, and then we opened up five of the bottles last night and had a blast tasting them. So how did the blind tasting box get started? How did that idea come about?
Well, like many things, it is, you know, just sort of iteration after iteration of trial and error. So we obviously with everything that's happened in the last month and a half up here, there's been a lot of need for constant innovation. So as of March 15th, we got the shutdown notice on all in-house restaurant seating, essentially. And the reality is that of our four current concepts that we have open at the moment, two of them just weren't going to work without that, and especially without traffic. So, you know, the Wienery isn't really a concept that has that can survive without traffic on the road, without traffic at the wineries, without that kind of stuff. And because it isn't really located in a rural area, it's in such a rural area, it isn't located with people close by that, you know, can just get there by foot. Ultimately, we realized that really wasn't going to be sustainable through this, even with a takeout model. And table being entirely based on social contact seemed a little bit not to fit into the current state of things. So both of those ended up, we decided to put both of those on hold and close those down while we kept open Freibird and Provision. But sort of at the beginning of the whole thing was the fact that Freibird opened about in its new expanded location about 3 weeks before the shutdown, and Provision was scheduled to open in its new expanded location the Thursday that we got shut down. So 3 days after the shutdown announcement came out. So we kind of had all of these plans ready, and honestly, we had a lot of things purchased and ready to go for Provisions, including something that we were going to offer, which was a blind tasting flight as part of our, you know, by the glass program there. And with everything shutting down, that was not going to happen. But the SLA changed some laws that actually allowed us to essentially sell these glasses to go, if you will. So allowing the restaurants to sell the things that we can sell on our premise or off our premise. So ultimately, we had all these wines that we purchased for this new program at Provisions, and we thought, well, I guess let's give this new idea a shot and see if it takes off. So about 3 weeks ago, we decided that we'd give it a shot, and we would basically repack some of these into 187 milliliter bottles so that they were a little bit more approachable in terms of size. And also, you know, you got to taste five different wines yesterday. That's a little bit harder when there's 750 milliliter bottles.
Yes, exactly.
So we gave it a shot, and about 3 weeks ago, I remember I'm actually sitting at the, right now I'm sitting at the exact table that I repackaged the first ones at, and I remember thinking, God, you know, I'm opening 24 bottles of wine right now. What if I don't sell these four packs that I'm making? What's going to happen if nobody buys them? Like, oh no, I just put all this wine out to waste. And that didn't end up being a problem. So it's kind of taken off, and it's been absolutely crazy, but it's been great. I mean, we've been able to have essentially three people back employed because of it. So we've been able to stay busy taking orders and fulfilling orders like crazy. So it's been awesome.
And judging by the boxes and the bottles I saw and Provisions and the old Freibird space connected to it, you're shipping them as well as pickup, right?
Yeah. So we are shipping anywhere in New York State, D.C., Florida, Minnesota, and Alaska, of course.
Of course, Alaska.
I mean, who wouldn't ship to Alaska?
Exactly.
No, those are just the states that, as at the moment, we have the ability to ship to without, based on permitting and things like that. So
yeah,
we're hoping that we can figure out and work our way through the ability or the permitting to get the ability to ship to a couple of more states here in the near future.
It seems like that these blind tasting boxes are ideal for people who are studying to be sommeliers at every level, because you have a group of, you know, five or six people that get together, and normally each of you would bring a bottle of wine, but last night when we had these small bottles, we did five decent tasting size samples, five people out of one bottle, and then we went on to the next wine and the next wine. By the end of the five bottles, we'd each had basically a glass of wine, and a healthy glass, and we got to taste a bunch of wines, five different wines.
So it's funny because, I mean, obviously when we first started, you know, I spent a lot of time doing tasting groups. I spent a lot of time, you know, working with students who are preparing for examinations. And, you know, I think in our head, especially as we've seen the sort of sommelier community and the sommelier profession budding here in upstate New York in the last 5 years, we've seen so many more people getting into it, so many more people kind of progressing through some of the educational programs and bodies that are out there. It's obviously, that was really kind of our first thought when we decided, oh, you know, we'll offer these blind tasting flights, because the reality is there's a lot of students here. There's a lot of folks that ask me to do them, and unfortunately, I just don't always have as much time to do it as I'd like to for them. So we figured, oh, great, we can just offer it at Provisions, and students and anybody coming up to the region can just swing by there and do a blind tasting whenever they want. Kind of this sort of pivoted that, and at first we were thinking, oh, this will be great. And I reached out to a bunch of the folks in our tasting group and, you know, sort of and asked if they would be interested in something like this, and they all were. And so in my head at first I was thinking, oh, this is clearly a, you know, this is for anybody studying, whether it's for, you know, the MW program or the WSET program, whether it's for the CMS program, whether you're just, you know, in the industry and working towards improving your tasting technique. And then all of a sudden people started to reach out for their Zoom groups and for their, hey, I get together every week and have a happy hour with my company, or I get together every week and have a happy hour with my friends online, and we're dying for something to do. And so all of a sudden that was like, oh, hang on, normal people like wine too.
Right.
Normal people would like 24 different wines or 12 different wines that they don't have to commit to a full bottle of. Hang on, maybe this could be an educational thing for people who aren't in the industry, who maybe don't need to blind taste per se, but who might find it really fun to taste 12 different wines during the week and not, you know, have to commit to 12 full bottles of wine, and all of a sudden get a broader picture of the wine world, because, you know, we're putting in great wines essentially. So, you know, these are what's going into the wine or into the bottles is essentially the things that I consider to be, you know, iconic classic styles of wine from the entire world. So it may be something that somebody's never tried before. You know, maybe you've never had an Assyrtiko from Greece, and maybe you never would have. But if you buy a 12-pack of wine or a 24-pack of wine, there's a good chance that maybe there's going to be a bottle of Assyrtiko in there. Maybe there's going to be a bottle of South African Chenin Blanc or, you know, Chilean Carmenere that maybe you've never had before. So all of a sudden it started to ring these bells that, wow, maybe there's more opportunity than just people that are sort of put off from their studying game. Maybe there's an opportunity for normal people to try some wine and to get into it and learn more about it. So it's been a really cool realization to move down that path, and then starting to get more and more interest from people who were planning on hosting a party next month and don't really know what to do, or this month and don't know what to do now. Well, cool. This is a great way to ship 20. Or, you know, ship a pack of each of these to 20 different friends and hop online together and taste wine and basically have the exact same wines in your glass to talk about.
And we tasted five wines. The retail prices, which you give in the notes, you know, it's a total of about probably was about $200 retail of wine. We paid about $60 for those five instead of the $200, and really got, you know, four of our family members are not in the industry. They just like tasting wine and thought it was kind of fun. And, you know, we didn't take it very seriously. If I was studying to be a sommelier, it would be a whole different deal. We'd do it very seriously, but you don't have to. But my big mistake was I never read directions when I do anything, unfortunately. And so we consumed the first bottle, you know, in the five of us, and then realized that there were notes about it that we could have, you know, left some in the glass to then see if we could find what you and some of the other sommeliers that wrote notes on these were describing. So we managed to do that for the next four.
Great. Yeah, and that's sort of where now all of a sudden it's becoming, you know, again, we want it to be a tool. We wanted it to be a tool for industries or for industry and wine professionals. But now all of a sudden we've realized that there's a whole lot more interest and also a really cool ability to educate in a way that we've never really been able to do before for people, which I think is to get wines that we find important, that we think are really cool in the wine world, into people's hands and then give them access to the information about what we think is super cool about it. You know, there's always a great opportunity at a restaurant like Table where we do wine pairing for us to actually just decide what people are going to drink and to decide that, yeah, maybe you probably wouldn't have bought Syrah from the wine list because nobody ever buys Syrah. But you're sitting here and you've given me the option to choose a wine for you. Well, this is the one I think is the most exciting and coolest in sort of the price point that we're talking about. And that's an opportunity that you have when you do tasting menus and pairings. It's not always an opportunity that you have when you're doing a traditional wine list or even a retail shop, because a lot of times people just come in and buy what they know. I know New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. I drink it. I like it. That's what I'm going to have every time. And maybe it's a little bit harder to get them to try that Astier Thicot, or maybe it's a little bit harder to get them to try that bottle of Sancerre in a situation like that. But when we get to choose what we're offering and what we're pouring, it's a really great opportunity for people to try something that, and to find something new that maybe they like as much or more, or all of a sudden get intrigued by the fact that, oh, maybe I do like more than just a couple of styles of wine. So it's been a really fun opportunity with that. And the educational piece, you know, we worked really hard on trying to get all the tasting notes and the fact sheets together. And it's been great to see so many of our friends in the industry help contribute to that. So we've got a bunch of master sommeliers that help to write tasting notes and tell us a little bit about what they think is cool about the wine. And now we're starting to work on trying to do some tasting videos and trying to get those uploaded so that we can, so that you can basically sit there and taste through the wine with either a master sommelier walking us through the blind tasting aspect of it, or maybe as we push forward with the winemaker telling us a little bit about something cool about the wine. So it's been fun to watch it develop. And like everything, I mean, it changes every day. Every day we wake up and we go in and we talk to the team and one of us has a new idea that we want to adjust to how we've been doing it. So,
yeah. Well, the Instagram video, I saw you doing the one on Marcinet recently.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those up and available. People can kind of see you in person and taste the wine with you.
Yeah, and that's the idea. Is hopefully in this time where we don't have the opportunity to welcome guests into our dining room and help them experience more wine and help them help them enjoy wine more in person, obviously moving our model has been really helpful. And it's been really cool watching the social medias and the Instagrams and watching all of the other sommeliers who are switching the way that they're connecting with people and that they're sharing their passion for wine with people. So it's been fun to do, and it's been fun to see people react so positively too.
And to further explain this, you take a ordinary 750 of bottle of wine from around the world that's on your wine list, and you repackage it. You pour it out into these small bottles, kind of single glass bottles. You use argon and then a crown cap like people might have on a beer, and so the wine is protected. You don't have to drink it immediately, right?
Yeah, so the idea is pretty simple. I mean, thankfully, one of the skill sets that we already have and the technologies that we already have is the fact that, you know, we already bottle our own wine anyway. So having the production knowledge and the production background and how to handle those things has been really, really helpful through this. But the idea is we take great bottles of wine from our wine list at table, bottles of wine that I've selected from our distributors that we think are important for basically anybody who's interested in wine to know about. So anybody who's sort of wine savvy, we pick wines that we think that they should be familiar with. And we take those, open them. We take bottles. In this case, right now, we're using 187 milliliter glass bottles. So basically, that's 6 ounces. It's a quarter of a bottle of wine. And we're charging them with argon, which is an inert gas that's oftentimes used in wineries, because it's heavier than air. So by filling the bottle with argon, we actually get rid of all the oxygen that's in there. And we take and break each of those 750 milliliter bottles down into 4 187. It's a pretty handmade process at this point. It's literally me sitting there with a funnel doing it. And then we charge the headspace again with some argon and go ahead and crown cap them. So that classic beer cap that you see. Either Isabel or JJ at this point sitting across the table labeling them, and we basically just put an ID number on. So I think we're up to ID number 130, which means we've done about 130 different wines, and we keep kind of recycling them and changing them, so every tasting pack is different. And we put a little ID number on there and box them up and either ship them or have them ready for delivery or for delivery or pickup in the tasting room. And then on the back end, what we've done is we've basically built a portion of our website at flxprovisions.com that has a sheet with all of these ID numbers. And there's essentially, you click on the ID number and it brings up a PDF of a bunch of tasting notes, basically blind tasting notes from a master sommelier and an advanced sommelier, kind of so that we have two different opinions and two different people's voices coming in here. It tells us a little bit about the structure of the wine, so what the level of tannin and acid and alcohol and things like that are, and then gives us an opportunity to make some deductions based off of those notes if we feel like it. Or we can just jump straight to the end, see what the wine is, and sit there and drink a glass of really cool wine and read a little bit about it, from how it was made to what grapes it's made with and what makes it special in the wine world.
And I have to tell you, we didn't come very close on any of these in trying to guess,
well,
blind taste them. It's tough. It's challenging. We had one of them was Dolcetto from Italy. One was
Giuseppe Mascarello Dolcetto.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great bottle of wine.
It was. Zuccardi Malbec from Argentina.
Yep.
Your Cabernet Franc Element. And
oh, cool.
Maybe came closest on that one to at least one of us guessed a Cabernet Franc. But it really... blind tastings are humbling experiences, and that's why it's good not to take it too seriously and just have fun
Correct.
With it.
And again, at the end of the day, the goal is just to sharpen our perceptions. You know, did we talk about this wine? You know, did we talk about how the Zuccardi was full of ripe black and blue fruits, which are really classic for Argentinian Malbec, especially that wine in particular? And did we get the fact that the Dolcetto was full of tart red and black fruit? And, you know, really just kind of dialing those things in and learning as we go. The reality is it takes missing a whole lot of wines before you figure out what some of them are.
Right.
So, did you find the blind tasting guide as well?
Yes.
Did you not read through that either?
After the first wine, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of material we look through, and I was reading the deductive tasting method, which if you see the movie some, in those movies you'll get a sense for just how important that strategy is for sommeliers to learn about wine, right?
Yeah, and again, at the end of the day, I mean, it's ultimately an exercise in making sure that we can accurately convey both to each other and to the wine world and to our guests about what a wine tastes like. Did we notice the fact that it was ripe and jammy or that it's tart? You know, does it taste like lemons or does it taste like oranges? And as we talk through, you know, in the dining room, as we talk to our guests, getting an idea of what styles of wine people like, and then being able to help them identify something either on our shelves or on our wine list that matches their preference is really the goal of blind tasting. To make sure that when a guest tells me that they like Chablis, that I know that tastes like tart lemon fruit and yogurt and creme fraiche and bread dough and things like that, and that I can help them find some other classic wines if I don't have a glass of Chablis. Or maybe I do, and I can help them find a specific style or producer that they like in there. So, you know, the idea of the blind tasting and the deductive tasting is really just this idea of really calibrating and making sure that we're discussing wines with a common language so that we can utilize that to better help serve our guests. So it's a fun little process. And yes, since the movie Thumb, everybody wants to give it a shot.
And good luck, because are there some strategies that you suggest to would-be sommeliers to try to figure out what the different fruits and flavors are in wine? So like one of these wines, which was the Malbec, you noted there's ripe blackberry, there's plum, there's purple cherry, there's coca, mocha, coffee, little herbal notes. Some of the other wines had violets. Do you have to go to each of those, you know, like take a violet from your yard and like smell it and say, well, what does this smell like? And then, you know, try to internalize what cocoa or coffee smells like somehow, because I have a hard time picking those flavors out of wine and those odors both.
Well, I think that there's a couple of different things that are at play here. One of them is the fact that, first and foremost, none of those things are in the wine, okay? And understanding that, I think, is one of the biggest challenges one of the things that I think surprises the most people, and that they would be the least likely to ask, because there's an intimidation factor to asking anything about wine. So understanding the fact that there is no coffee, there is no cocoa, there is no blackberry in that glass of Malbec is a super important thing. Understanding that, and then understanding the fact that because none of it is in there, that it's essentially all sensory imagination, if you will. So it's what it reminds us of. And that means that we have to have a sensory database. So, yeah, one of the things that happens as you get more into wine, one of the reasons that I find wine to be fascinatingly cool, is that as you get more into wine, you realize that, I don't actually know what a violet smells like. And what you'll find is that at some point you'll be walking along and you'll see a violet and you'll stop and you'll pick it up and you'll smell it. And all of a sudden you'll go, oh, I recognize that. I smell it in this or in this or in this. And you'll do the same thing the next time you have a cup of coffee. You won't just drink that cup of coffee. You'll take a second to smell that cup of coffee. So with that, for me, one of the coolest things about wine is that it literally is that getting into launching your sort of passion and enjoyment for wine will literally make you stop, slow down, and take more time to observe the world around you and to enjoy it a little bit more. And it'll literally make you stop and smell the flowers for a minute on a beautiful day like today. So building that sensory memory is super important. And then ultimately for me, when I go to taste the wine, I'm not waiting for the wine to say something. Like, I'm not just waiting for my imagination to take off. I essentially just go down through and what you'll hear referred to as the grid, I'm sure, in the Psalm movie, is essentially just a checklist. And it is, I ask myself basic questions. When I smell a glass of red wine, the first thing I say is, does this smell like red fruit, black fruit, or blue fruit? And ultimately, that goes in order of ripeness. The red fruits are things like strawberries, cherries, raspberries, cranberries. Black fruits might be black plum, blackberry, black cherry. Blue fruit, well, there's only one, really, and it's blueberries, because blue raspberry isn't really a fruit. So we basically are just asking ourselves, which of these does it remind me of? And ultimately, for me, it's, you know those slot machines, like the old school slot machines where it spun around with three fruits and you're trying to match the fruits up? Basically, what I'm doing is I'm running through my whole brain of what each of these fruits smell like, and I go, does it smell like that one? No. Does it smell like that one? No. Smell like that one? Yes. And then I move on. And then it's, does this wine smell floral? Does it smell like flowers? Yes or no. Does it smell like black pepper? Yes or no. Does it smell like green bell pepper? Yes or no. And so it's really just this checklist of things, and not just waiting for all of these notes to pop up. It's not, from the outside, it can maybe seem a little magical or a little artistic. The reality is at its core, it's really just filling out a checklist. Yes or no. Yes or no. And I think that can help people a lot. It's just asking that question. When you get to when you think, hey, I think there's a floral component. Great. Is it red or purple? And for me, that's one of those things where, again, I'm very visual on this stuff. So I always just put my nose in the glass. I envision a coloring book flower that's stenciled in black and white in my brain. And I put my nose in the glass, and I see whether that flower turns purple or turns red in my brain. And then there's only a couple of red and purple flowers that I think about. So it's just this kind of digging process. But ultimately, it starts with understanding that all of this is perception. There are no rights and wrongs. This isn't like a recipe where you can say, yes, there is saffron, or no, there isn't saffron. This is, do you perceive it or do you not perceive it? Build that flavor memory. Build that aroma memory. Build that structure memory. Wow, this is a wine with high tannin. If you taste Nebbiolo from Barolo or Barbaresco, that wine is high tannin. And then you taste it next to, let's say, Beaujolais, and that wine is low tannin. And now we've got these structural ranges that we build. And then going through and asking yourself in a consistent way, does it smell like this? Yes or no. Does it taste like this? Yes or no. Does it feel like this? Yes or no. And ultimately just doing it over and over and over and comparing either notes with other people or comparing notes. I mean, that's part of the reason we built those sheets was so that you can go through and say, hey, I think this is high acid. And then you look at the sheet and calibrate to sort of what we feel, I feel, or whoever else wrote those tasting notes, where the acid actually lies on that wine. So it's a constant give and take, and it's constantly learning.
And I love the idea of going out and just smelling the violets and, I don't know about licking the wet gravel, but smelling the wet gravel, because it does have a distinctive smell. As someone who's done landscaping, I can picture wet gravel and smell that.
I always forget. There's a fancy term for it. But basically, you think about when it's hot in the summer and the sun's baking down on rocks,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden it rains. Petrichor, I think, is the fancy name for it, right? I think that's the smell of wet rock, petrichor. But there's such a distinctive aroma, whether it's sidewalk or cement or whether it's stone, there's that such a unique scent to it.
There is. Now, in the tasting bottles, and by the way, all the five bottles that we emptied have all been spoken for vases from various members of the family, because they're kind of cool little bottles and don't really have a big label you have to take off, just the number. So they're going to make great vases. But you have them packaged in six packs, kind of all together for shipping. But it'll be like six whites or six reds. Are they intentionally put together so that you should work within that group, maybe, to, if you're studying the wine, or does that matter?
So they are intentionally put together, though they are not necessarily. There isn't necessarily a theme. So typically what we do is we bottle. So yesterday was a bottling day for us. So we bottled 24 different wines, 12 whites and 12 reds. And we basically break them into each of them into packs. So there's A pack white wine and there's a B pack white wine. So basically six and six. So the idea is that if you get a 12 pack, you're going to get six from white wine A and the six pack from red wine A. And the idea is that I try to balance it so that there's maybe some really classic wine. So that if you get a 12 pack, maybe I want there to be one or two kind of experimental crazy wines in there. Maybe you're going to get Vino Mavro from Greece, or maybe you're going to get Pinot Noir from Patagonia. And then I also want there to be a fair amount of traditional classic wines. Sancerre, Bordeaux, Napa Cab, Beaujolais, Barolo. And so just trying to balance that, I try to make sure that, you know, you don't get, unless it was specifically designed to do so, that, you know, I don't, in a 12-pack, I want to make sure that we have a breadth of wine. So I want to make sure that you're not getting a Sauvignon Blanc from Sancerre, Sauvignon Blanc from Bordeaux, and a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand in your three white or in your six white wines. Though maybe if you got a case, maybe it is, or the 24-pack, maybe it is cool that there's three different versions of Sauvignon Blanc from around the world to taste. So
right.
We do try to have a little strategy to it. But
and people can order.
Not necessarily thematic.
People can order the wines if they like them after the fact and pick them up or have them shipped?
Yeah, of course. So that's part of the idea, is that pretty much all of the wines that are in the packs are also then just available to buy by the bottle, by the case, however you want. So, you know, the idea
Excellent.
Is that it gives you an opportunity to taste those and go, wow, this Dolcetto from Mascarello is super cool. I love it. I want to get a couple of more bottles. Or to say, hey, I really like this Zuccardi Malbec, but I don't really like the Mascarello Barb or Dolcetto. And that
yeah.
gives us some information to help you pick out wines in the future. You know, it's ultimately it's... provisions is even long before this situation that we're in has came down upon us. The idea of provisions is really trying to change the retail landscape. And
Christopher, that's
yeah.
Again, in Geneva, FLX Provisions, they can you can ship to people. And appreciate all your time. It's awesome to catch up with you. And good luck. FLX Freibird is open for takeout. So have a great
yes,
day,
sir.
Christopher.
You as well.
Thank you. We'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants Discover the Finger Lakes here on WISL 1040.